Well, we're here. That was fairly seamless. If you could see the amount of time it took us to get a seamless transition, you'd be impressed. So, good morning, everybody. It's really good to be able to still be able to share with you, even though we're separated and we're all very sad about that. But the word that I'm going to share with you this morning is actually something that God gave me quite a while ago, and as I looked into it again, it really kind of struck me how God really knows what we need to hear at any particular time. So the title of my message this morning is Stop the Roller Coaster, I Want to Get Off. Now, I don't know if any of you like roller coasters. So in our family, myself and Lois, my youngest daughter, we like roller coasters, but Martin, my husband, and Jess, our oldest daughter, do not. Now, we went to Disneyland a number of years ago, and when we got there, because it was February time and it was quite quiet, we were actually able to get on rides without queuing on the first day that we arrived. And so knowing that Jess was not particularly keen on roller coasters and Martin neither, we'd sort of tried a few different rides. And then we arrived at this particular one, and there was no one waiting, and we just ran up and climbed onto the awaiting carriage car, whatever you call it. Jess and I in the front and Lois and Martin behind us. And we hadn't really considered what this ride was like. You couldn't see where it was going. You just kind of got onto the carriage. And then the guy came and he put the kind of the frame over the top. And as he did that, I started to think maybe this wasn't such a good idea. But by that point, it was too late. And at that point, Jess said, I want to get off. And I said, it's too late. So we took off. As we rounded a corner, I saw the loop. Now, the worst thing about roller coasters for Jess is going upside down. So my thought at that point was, oh no, what am I going to do? Well, Jess, her thought was, what she actually said to me was, I am never speaking to you ever again, as she closed her eyes, held on for dear life until the end of the ride. Now, I'm pleased to say that she has spoken to me since then. I think she's forgiven me. She's actually here doing the data today, so if anything strange pops up, it might be her way of kind of getting her own back, but we'll hopefully get through this okay. Now, you, like me, may feel that sometimes life is a bit of a roller coaster ride. So we have our ups and downs. We have our times when everything seems to be turning upside down. Now, for all of you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. You will know, as will the fathers out there, that parenting can be a bit of a roller coaster. You know, one minute you're filled with love and pride at your wonderful child, and the next minute you want to throttle them. That's life. That's kind of what parenting is like. One day you feel like you're doing a fantastic job and you're kind of nailing it, and the next day you feel like the worst parent on earth. I hope there's a few parents out there that can agree with me on that. So even without our current really difficult situation, life can be difficult and life can feel like a roller coaster. But what is it supposed to be like for us? Is it supposed to be that we just hold on for dear life like Jess did, close your eyes and wait until we get to heaven at the end of the ride? Or are we actually supposed to enjoy the ride? Are we supposed to be able to get some pleasure and enjoy living this life that we live? And I truly believe that it's God's intention that we should have life to the full. That's what Jesus said he came to bring. And that we actually can know joy and peace in the midst of this roller coaster ride that we experience. So I want to look at one verse in particular to frame our message around today, and that's from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Which says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. In the Living Bible, it says, always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And the Message Bible says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. So this verse is telling us that we should be rejoicing in the Lord all the time. Now, let's be honest, right now, I think many of us are struggling to feel joyful. In fact, we're actually pretty sad about our circumstances. It's really hard being apart from the people that we love. being apart from our friends and our family. We don't like it. We don't like being isolated. Lois has been working from home since Tuesday, like perhaps many of you have, and by Wednesday she'd had enough, let's be honest. And I think she was quite ready to kind of go back to work and let everything go back to normal. And I guess, you know, in many ways, we're all affected, aren't we, by these circumstances. And we can worry. You know, it is worrying. It's worrying circumstances. And we might be worrying about ourselves, about our financial position, about our health, about the lives of those around us and our loved ones. But I have a question for you today. Do you believe the Bible? Is it true? Is God's word still truth? Because if it is, then this verse saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times," still applies to us today. And I believe that this time perhaps is the time when we need a fresh revelation of that. Interestingly, Paul doesn't say, "I suggest to you that it might be a good idea for you to rejoice in the Lord." He actually says, "Rejoice in the Lord." It's a command. And he repeats it just to be sure. But does being told to be joyful make us feel joyful? Well, no. No more than telling you, "Don't worry," stops you from worrying. But I actually believe that rejoicing is a choice. And joy is a response, the emotional response, that we can experience as a result of choosing to rejoice. So rejoicing is a choice, and joy can be an emotion that comes as a result of that. So we might not enjoy all our circumstances, but we can rejoice in all circumstances. So this message really is about the importance of choosing to rejoice in the midst of our challenges. So there's three main areas that I want to look at in terms of the roller coaster. But today we're only going to be focusing on one, and we'll come back to the others. But the three areas are, and I think we've got the image on there, the slow climb, the long drop, and the loop the loop. So the first thing that I want to talk about today is the slow climb. And that's really to do with dread, worry, and fear. So if you've been on a roller coaster, you'll know that climb where you're going steadily up and you're climbing up, and you know that there's something that's going to happen at the top. And you know it's coming, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, you might be excited about that, or you might be dreading it, like Jess. And we can live life with dread. You know, that expectation of bad, the anticipation that something's going to go wrong. You know, even when life is going okay, I know that there are people that still have that sense of dread, like, well, something's going to go wrong round the corner, something bad is going to happen. And we can't enjoy the moment because we're living in dread or worry or fear of the future. And I know from personal experience how that stops you from being able to enjoy life right now. And let's be honest, life does give us lots to worry about. You know, even without our current situation, life can be very worrying. Having children can open the door to a whole new set of worries, as you will know if you're a parent. And as I said, I was preparing this before the whole issue with coronavirus was really such a big issue. But I was really struck by the relevance of this message when I read from Psalm 91, verse 6. Which says, "Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday." Do not dread. See, life is full of uncertainty and danger, especially right now. And we can feel like we're heading up that slow climb, and at some point we're going to go over the top and everything's going to fall apart. We don't know what's coming. So how can we live these days full of uncertainty and danger and still be joyful? Well, we can find some clues from a couple of passages I want to look at. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. This is from the Amplified Bible. "Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And then if we go back to Philippians 4, where we read from verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always," if we go on to verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, though I believe there's four things mentioned in these verses which I think are key to our ability to experience joy. First one is pray. The second, be thankful. Third, choose what we think about. And finally, obey. Now, each one of those is a subject in itself. So I'm just going to briefly mention a few and then we're going to think a little bit more about one of them. So first of all, pray. Prayer is key to our joy. Why? Because we are praying to the one who holds everything in his hands. When we pray, we're saying to God, I don't have the answers, but you do. So prayer is the way of us focusing our attention on the one who is able to change our situations, but more than that, is able to change us within our situations. We can give all our concerns and worries to the one who actually can do something about it. So prayer is key. Secondly, being thankful. Thankfulness is powerful. You know, there's numerous research that's been done into the power of gratitude on our physical and emotional health. But we have always so much to be thankful for. As Christians, we have a God who loves us, who's saved us, who's promised to provide for us and take care for us. We have so much to be thankful for. And thankfulness, gratitude, is incredibly powerful in changing the way that we feel. Thirdly, choosing what we think about, and that's what I'm going to come back to. And then fourthly, obey. You know, we don't get any benefit from knowing something if we don't do it. So knowing that I need to wash my hands doesn't protect me from anything if I'm not actually washing my hands. And it's the same with God's word. God gives us the word in order that we act on it so that we can gain benefit from it. Just knowing it doesn't transform us. And obeying the word of God brings us joy. So, to think about our thoughts for a minute, thinking about what we're thinking about, because this is really powerful, I believe, in terms of our ability to experience joy and to rejoice in the Lord. So, Psalm 94, verse 19 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Now, there might be people out there and anxiety is great within you. Well, I love the way the Passion Translation puts this. "Whenever my busy thoughts were out of control, the soothing comfort of your presence calmed me down and overwhelmed me with delight." I'm sure that many of us can identify with busy thoughts being out of control at any time, particularly now. So how do we control our busy thoughts? Well, actually our brains are designed to think. You know, that's what they do. That's what God made them for. They produce thoughts. It's not the fact that that our brains produce thoughts that are the problem. It's what those thoughts are that causes us an issue. So we can't stop thinking, but we can choose what we do with those thoughts. So thoughts will come and go, but we can choose whether we hang on to them or not, whether we believe them or not, whether we act on them or not. Not everything we think is helpful, folks, and not everything we think is true. We have to weigh it up with the word of God. We have to weigh it up with what his word says about us and about life. So we don't have to pay attention to those thoughts that are not helpful. On a practical note, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there at the moment that, let's be honest, is not really helpful. It's not helping our thoughts. And choosing what we read, choosing what we look at, choosing what we listen to is all helpful in trying to make sure that our thoughts are actually in our thought life is helpful to us and is going to increase our joy, not increase our fear. So we've just read from Philippians about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We have a clear guideline there of the kind of things to be thinking about. So what we take into our brains will affect our thought life, and our thought life will affect our emotions. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can choose to replace those unhelpful, destructive, joy-stealing thoughts with something much better, We can pray. We can thank God. We can praise him. We can read his word. We can enter into the presence of God with praise and worship and experience his comfort and his peace. That's the promise of his word. So we may live in an uncertain world, but the basis for our rejoicing is the unchanging nature of God, his faithfulness to his word. We can rest secure in his love. We know that our feet are planted on the rock, on that secure foundation. So we can choose to rejoice in the presence of uncertainty, even in the presence of fear, because we're placing our faith in a person who is completely certain and unchanging and faithful. See, I honestly believe that we have reasons to rejoice even when everything seems bleak. We may feel that we've got a lot of our choices taken away from us right now. We can't choose to do the things that we would normally do. We feel that our freedom perhaps is restricted. But we can choose thankfulness. We can choose praise. We can choose to pray. We can choose to trust in the one who's in control. And yes, we can choose to rejoice. You know, we're in a situation and it may feel as Christians like, you know, the enemy is having a field day. But he's not going to win because we have a God who is victorious. And we can choose to praise the one who has the whole world in his hands. He has you and I in his hands. He is the one that keeps us and holds us. And you know, I really believe that God wants to talk to us through this time. He wants to show us things. He wants us to understand things that maybe we wouldn't otherwise not have been able to grasp. I don't believe that any situation comes upon us that God can't use for his glory and for our good. You know, we have an opportunity through this time to choose to live in a way that gives God glory, but also to choose the way that we show God's love to others. You know, we can choose to pray for those around us, to pray for this situation. Prayer is so powerful, folks. We can choose to be thankful and to praise and worship him. Every day, I really encourage you, you know, just be so thankful. Choose to be thankful. Choose to praise God, even when it feels like everything's falling apart around you. We can choose to rejoice in the Lord at all times, even when we don't feel like it. That's where it's powerful. That's where it changes us. That's where it changes even our situations. There's power in our praise, in our worship. So let's show the enemy that we're not going to be held down. Let's show him that no disease is going to derail our faith. No disease is going to derail our church, that's for certain, because God is still building his church around the world. I know that we're going to hear stories again and again of wonderful things that God has done. And, you know, I believe that God wants to do wonderful things in us at this time. This may feel like a roller coaster. We may feel like we were totally out of control. But you know what? The one who designed the roller coaster, the one who has everything in his hands, he knows what's coming and he knows that he is able to give us what we need to deal with it. Not in ourselves, only in him. We can't do this by ourselves, folks. It's only as we trust in him. So, I may not be able to meet with you on a Sunday. I may not be able to get a hug from you, and I miss that. But you know what? We're in this together, and I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's absolutely true. And as a church, we're standing strong together. We're trusting God together. And when one of us is feeling a bit weak and like we're struggling, let's reach out and encourage one another that we can do this together. You know, we have the King of Kings living in us. That is powerful, folks. We have reason to celebrate. We have reason to rejoice. Let's rejoice in the Lord always, because he is the one who is going to change us through this situation. He is the one who can transform our situations, turn our darkness into light. We can trust him. He's faithful. He's not going to let us down. So let's rejoice in the Lord always. Choose rejoicing. That's my encouragement to you today and every day. Choose to rejoice. And if that means putting on some loud praise music at home, dancing around the house, do it if it helps you, because that's what rejoicing can do. It can lift our spirits. It can refocus our attention and enable us to be able to do what we have to do in these times, but also to do it in a way that brings joy into our hearts, and we can be joy givers to those around us too. So we're going to go back to doing some praising right now. We're going to have another wonderfully smooth transition, and we're going to sing a bit more and give glory to God. And and I hope that this has been helpful for you today, because it's certainly helpful for me. I'm always preaching to myself. So thank you, folks. God bless you. I'm